Thank you, Sean and team. Before we jump into our time, I got a couple of things I want to share, some things I want to celebrate this morning. One of those is something that some in this room may have some connection to, some may not, but we don't get to celebrate these kinds of things very often. But we have got a family who has been a part of this church for decades. It's the Peniston family. Some of you know them, some of you don't. But we got to celebrate this morning Dan and Loretta Peniston, who have been pillars of this church since before it was even, since I can remember. They were celebrating this morning 69 years of marriage. Like, that's worth celebrating, isn't it? I got a long way to go before I hit that, but nonetheless, like, that is just something that doesn't happen often in the church, let alone in this culture, in this world, amen? So, man, when it happens, praise God for it. That's what we want and pray for every single one of our marriages, that we have 69, 70 years of marriage. What a wonderful thing that is. Also, I have a couple of other things I want to celebrate this morning. Another one is that we've got some very special guests with us this morning. This is Franz and Rode Privel. If you guys would please stand up for me, and I'm going to have you come up and pray in just a minute, but this is Franz and Rode, and they are ministry partners. They're part of the ministry of this church. You, every time you give offerings, some of that goes to the work that God is doing through this wonderful couple in Haiti. They've got a ministry called the Haitian Impact Christian Ministry, where they've got church plants and all kinds of stuff, leadership development that they've been doing, and they're here visiting. So it's just a wonderful privilege and blessing to have them. I want to pray for you two in just a moment, but before we do that, I want to also mention and you guys can go ahead and have a seat, but I want to mention what this is. This is a bouquet of flowers, and if you were wondering why we have that up here this week, this is because it's a special week for us. It's the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And while that's something that sometimes gets overlooked in churches, it's something that's very, very important to us in regards to just our culture's view and the world's view of life and the importance of life and what that means for us. And this really, this whole big cultural thing and this reality of abortion in our country and what goes on with that. And we as a church, we don't desire to remain silent in regards to that. And here's why. Because we believe as the people of God that every single life is a valuable life. Amen? Like, it's a valuable life. And it's valuable different than all of rest of creation, because of something very clearly given to us in the very beginning of time. And I'll just read it. God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Like, life is valuable because we bear the image of God. We bear the image of God. It is his breath in us. And that is why life is valuable. Every single life is valuable. And it's interesting to me when you read throughout Scripture, there's a very clear call to the people of God. And that call is that God doesn't care as much about our religious practices as he does about us being a people who stand for justice and what is right and having a voice for those who don't have a voice. Listen to Isaiah chapter 1. It says this, "What to me is your multitude of sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings and rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats." And then you jump down to verse 16, and he says this to his people, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause." God's heart for his people. And why we set this weekend aside to think about this issue is because we literally see thousands of voices, millions of voices being silenced, and they have no one crying out for them. And injustice, and God says he wants us to be a people of justice. And so we're going to take some time this morning. We're going to pray for our country. We're going to pray for that situation. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something a little different than I did in the first service. I'm actually going to take some time to pray for Franz and Rhodes. So if you two wouldn't mind, go ahead and coming up to on the stage. And then I'm going to invite our elders and pastors. Those of you, would you please come up? I'm going to go ahead and call you out. We want to pray for Franz and Rhodes, lay hands upon them. And then we're going to spend a couple moments praying for life and praying for this issue and praying for our country and praying for those who have been affected by the issue of abortion and just the travesty of that issue in our day and age. And so we're going to pray for you two first. And so glad to have you present and just pray over the Lord's blessing. So would you just join with me in prayer? Father, I just first of all, I just want to thank you for Franz and Roan. Lord, they have given their lives because they know you value every life, and they've given their lives to share the gospel to a people who need it deeply, to a people among much need, and you have given them strength, you have given them wisdom, you have given them favor. And Father, they've seen so much fruit out of the ministry you've called them to there in Haiti. Father, I want to pray for Franz and Rhode. I want to pray, Lord, for your blessing upon them. I want to pray, Father, that you would strengthen them, that you would give them all that they need to run the race that you have set out before them all the way to the end. And they would run it hard. Lord, we're so grateful to be a part of that ministry and the work that you are doing there. We pray, Lord, that you would just bring much fruit, many more lives, many more souls coming into the reality of the good news of who your son is. And so we're grateful for them, and I pray for them in the ministry there in Haiti. Father, we also want to pray this morning for our nation, our country, and this sin of abortion that is so rampant and prevalent. And Lord, as I even say that, I'm mindful of the reality that there are some potentially in this room that have been affected by this, that have been a part of this. And Father, if they are here and they are seeking your grace, may they feel your forgiveness. Father, your blood is sufficient even for those sins, for every sin. You are able to forgive and make us blameless regardless. And I pray that they would rest in you. I pray that they would find peace in you. And I pray, Father, though, for us too as a church, for as a people of God, that we would be a people bold to proclaim, to speak out, to cry out for the voices of those that are being silenced, for the voices who have no voice for them. I pray that your church would stand up. I pray that you would lead us to adopt, that you would lead us to care for mothers who are in desperate situations, that you would lead us to foster, that you would lead us to step into those gaps. And most of all, Lord, that you would lead us to pray for our country and pray that you would eradicate this from our nation. We know that's your heart. And so may we be a part of that. May we be bold to it, but may we also have wisdom and grace in our words with gentleness. And so, Father, we just pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. My heart's been heavy for the people that I love, for the family that I love, for the church that I love. And I'll be honest and say that even as I've walked through it, I've been asking a lot of questions like, really, God? Like, why? Why now? We've been through so much as a church. Some of you know that. Some of you don't. We've been through so much as a church. And I'm going like, is this really what you want? Is this the moment for this? Did we really hear your voice? Are we really attuned to what you want us to be? How do you want us to shepherd through a challenge like this? And what do you want us to learn as the people of God in a moment like this? And I wrestled with that. And I'll be honest, today is not really a day to give a whole bunch of answers, but to share where my heart is and some of the things that I feel like the Lord has been challenging me with. And as I've been thinking through it and weeping through this process, it's been so difficult. One of the prevailing thoughts that continue to come back to my mind, one of the continuing questions, it keeps coming to me is, what is church really all about? Why do we do this? And are we, as Central Christian Church, are we being faithful to it? Are we being faithful to this kind of a life that God is calling us to? And as I've been thinking through this, like I have to be honest with you, it's been hard to keep my thoughts straight because I just had all these verses coming to my mind. And I've been drawing them down in journals and verses like in Matthew 28 where Jesus tells us the commandment to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Verses about 1 Corinthians 13 talking about what love is and what does that look like. John 17 when Jesus is praying for the church, he's asking us to be unified and to abide in Christ. And I've had all these texts coming into my mind and just asking that question, like, what is it that you've asked us to be? And been a lot in 1 Peter, partly because of the comments in 1 Peter about elders and the qualifications of elders. And there's this one verse that I kept coming back to, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. I read this text and I say, why have we been purified? This is it, isn't it? To love one another, to earnestly pursue love from a pure heart because we have been loved first. Like, this is what the church is supposed to be about. It's love that makes us different than everything and anything else in this entire world, any other community that exists in this world. It's the love of the people of God that makes us different. You know, give an illustration of just how these thoughts have been coming. I don't think it was an accident or a coincidence that I've been reading David Platt's most recent book, and I don't know if you know who David Platt is, he wrote a book recently called Something Needs to Change, and it's really just a memoir. It's a reflections upon his travels to the Himalayas as he went to visit a mission there in the Himalayas. And he's sharing all of his experiences in the Himalayas and what he's walking through in that process. And he sees some really difficult stuff. He sees human trafficking. He sees people starving. He sees people being persecuted for their faith. And they're trekking through the Himalayas. And they're at the end of their trip and almost on their last day, they're about to go down down the track there. And on the last day, they hiked all day and they finally find this tea house that they're going to rest in. And their guide says, okay, go ahead, go inside, go get some food, and then we're going to church. This is at 15,000 feet in the middle of the Himalayas. Like, there's nothing anywhere, right? And so Platt writes that they went in, they got warm, they ate some food, they drank some tea, and nighttime comes, the guide comes and gets him and says, all right, you guys ready to go to church? And so they go outside and they make their way, not to a cathedral, not to a sanctuary, but to a house. Most of us would call it a shack. And as they're walking their way to this church, David says that he noticed this trail of people, this trail of lights coming up the side of the mountain. And he's like, well, what are all those people doing out in the middle of the dark in the Himalayas when it's sub-zero temperatures? And the guy says, well, they're all coming to church. Some of these people will hike 2 hours to come to church tonight and then hike 2 hours to go back. And I think about that and I start to think about my own experiences around this world. I start to think about the church that I've got to get, that I've got to experience in places like Egypt where they can't get jobs. You literally see people digging through trash. You think about India, China, my brothers and sister, just Franz and Rode, who were just here, and the church growing and thriving in a place like that. And I think about that, and I think about what is it that makes a church strong? What is it that would make us walk 2 hours to come to church? Would we do that? And the more I think about that, the more I think about these stories, I'm thinking about Acts, and I think about what it is to read through Acts and think about the church. And when you read Acts in the scriptures, like, the church looks unstoppable, but doesn't it? It looks unmovable. Like, it looks like this unbreakable force that is moving throughout history. And it was. You see slaves and masters coming together to worship, rich and poor, men and women, pagans and Jews, all finding life in Jesus that is found nowhere else in those days. I find people coming to faith left and right, literally thousands being baptized. God drawing the nations to himself, like answering the prophecy that he said was going to happen all the way back in Abraham. Like, the church is moving. It's moving fast. It's a story. The story of the early church is not a comfortable one. It's a bloody one. The story of the early church is people losing their livelihoods, losing their homes, losing their families, people being stoned, people being burned, crucified, hunted down, Christians being taken to arenas to be eaten by wild beasts and slaughtered by gladiators. We see sin in the church being dealt with harshly with Ananias and Sapphira. We see Paul rebuke Peter over sin. We see disagreements. We see council meetings about trying to figure out what this looks like. We see the separation of friends. And the church keeps moving. Like nothing stops it. Isn't that glorious? Like for centuries, the enemy has been trying to crush the church and it can't. And what I think about, when I think about all of this, I see in the midst of it all, saints of God joyfully proclaiming the abundance of life in Christ, millions finding Jesus and his renown growing. And ask this question, why are we not like this? Why are we not like this? Why is it that what was once seemed to be so unstoppable at times seems so fragile now? One wrong decision and a church can collapse. One pastor leaving and it can all break apart. Why? Why does what used to seem to grow so quickly seem to be constantly shrinking in our day, in our age, in our world? And I know that's not the case for everywhere in the world, right? Like you look at the church in China and India and Iran and other places, and it's growing exponentially. It looks like Acts. It looks like the church in the first century. And I shared that story with David Platt because as I read that book, David's asking a lot of those same questions. He's looking at the world around him. He's kind of asking, like, what is the church supposed to be? I don't understand. There's all this junk that I'm watching happen, and yet I see the church. And at the end of his trip, he starts to make some conclusions, and I want to read you a statement that he makes that I think is profound. I think is so important for us. It has been for me. These villages and these people in them need the church. I want to say that again. These villages and the people in them need the church. Do you need the church? These villages and these people in them need the church as God designed it to be, a people fearlessly holding on to God's word while selflessly sacrificing to share and show God's love amid need around them. This kind of church can change the world. It's surprisingly simple when you think about it. It's not easy, but simple. This church has so little of the things that you and I think about when it comes to church in our culture. They don't have a nice building. They don't have a great band. They don't have a charismatic preacher. They don't have programs. They just have each other. God's word in front of them and God's spirit among them. And apparently that's enough. They just have each other. Think about that statement for just a minute. That's what's making someone hike 2 hours to come to church. It wasn't the building. It wasn't the pastor. It was the church. It's enough. I've been thinking about these words and I'm asking myself the question, like, is it enough for us? Is it enough for me? If all of this goes away, is it enough? Because ultimately, that's what the church is called to be. That's who we are. We're to be a people who love one another. I mean, these are the words of Jesus, John 13. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Listen, if it was enough, if the community of faith, the people of God, each other and the word of God was enough, should we not guard that with a zeal? Should we not protect that? Should we not love that? Should we not do everything we can do to keep it? And yet I wonder so often, like, we might not go to church because it's too snowy. Do we love the people of God? And do we feel loved by the people of God? I have thought and prayed by this what made the church unstoppable in the early church, it was not great buildings. It was not the best programs. It wasn't where we put communion. It wasn't the songs we sing. It was their love for one another, their love for God and the Spirit of God working in them. That's what it was. And I simply desire that we be that kind of a church. People loving God, loving one another. Do you realize that if we fail at that, it doesn't matter what evangelistic programs we do, they will fail. This is what the Word of God tells us. I just read it, John 13. It says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If we don't, they won't know us as his disciples. It's that simple. Love's hard, isn't it? I just think about what love actually is. Love is hard. The love of God that he has given to us is one of the hardest things that we can possibly try to attain to. Living in this type of way, like, this is the thing, like, it's not subjective. We don't just get to decide what love looks like. He's told us what love looks like. He's told us in 1 Corinthians 13, it's patient, it's kind, it's gentle. It is not self-seeking. It's not, doesn't easily boast. It's self-controlled, and I'm missing some. But nonetheless, he's given to us an example of Jesus Christ, his son, to not only hear about love, but to see it. What kind of love is it? It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a dying love. It's the kind of love that says, man, like, you have your way. I will die to myself for your sake. All of the qualifications for elders, they're not just for elders, they're for the church. To love one another. To serve one another. That's hard. But I'll tell you right now, the only way you get to 69 years in a marriage is to love like that. Self-sacrificing, laying yourself down, be gentle, being patient, being self-controlled, being kind, not domineering, not seeking one's own interests. Like, this is love. Even church discipline, which is given to us in Matthew 18, which we don't like in the church. Like, we don't like to talk about church discipline, but it tells us, how do we accomplish that? Isn't it amazing that the text right before that is a text of pleading where Jesus says, you leave the 99 for the one. Like, the one strays, go get him. Even church discipline is love. It's not only love for the one in sin because they're not living in accordance with the flourishing of God, but it's love for those that have been hurt by sin. It's not loving to not do it. Like, what would we look like if we were a place where we came together where the most important thing about Sunday morning was being with the people of God, knowing people and being known by people in such a way where we knew that they were willing to lay themselves down for us and they could even call out sin in our lives, that we might be restored to life. Like, this is the church. This is the very thing that made it unstoppable in the New Testament. It's the very thing that Platt is recognizing and seeing within those churches up in the Himalayan mountains. It's the kind of church I want to be. It's the kind of man I want to be. It's the kind of family that I want to have. And I've been asking myself and praying to the Lord, like, if there's anything in me, as Sean read this morning, like, if there's anything in me that is not allowing me to love the way Christ has called me to, would you please show it? Use the people around me to tell me. May I not be hardened to that. May we be able to live and love with one another the way Peter has called us to. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have a unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. I want to be that. And I struggle to be that. And we all struggle to be that. And it's why we need to be in a place where we're not afraid to not be perfect in it, but also be willing to be called out on it and let the Lord work in our lives through it. See, if we're seeking for anything else from the church primarily, you're here for the wrong reasons. If you come here every week to just listen to a pastor, there's going to be days I'm not up here, and there will be a day when I'm not up here at all. If you come up here just to hear the band, you're missing the point. If you come in here to just see the wonderful sanctuary, you're missing the point. The church is the people of God. Being the people of God, loving one another. Man, like, may we be that. May we strive for that. May we seek it out. May our kids see it in our lives as parents. This is the beauty of the church. And I'm just telling you that over the past week, this is the type of ministry I feel more called to be a part of today than I ever have. And I'm excited to see this church become that. It is the prayer of my heart that we would become an unstoppable, unmovable force as he brings his kingdom about through a people who love him and one another and others with all their hearts. Where God is so powerfully moving in the lives of this church that we look as unstoppable as the church in Acts. While where hundreds, if not thousands, are being baptized. And as I pray for that, and I prayed for that more probably this past week than I have for years in the past. Here's what I've come to believe. That prayer will only start with love for one another. The kind of love that he calls us to live. It starts with your leaders. It starts with us in this room. And it carries itself out into the world. So here's my question to us all. Can you look around this room? Are you sitting next to people where you would say that if all of this was removed, it would still be enough? If the air conditioner broke, the heater broke, the money dries up, the quality of the pastoring goes downhill in terms of the preaching of the word, and the band messes up on their keys, would it still be enough? If it's not, we have room to grow in loving one another. Amen? And even if it is, we still have room to grow in loving one another. But that's what I want us to be, and that's my heart. Even in these hard times, I'd ask that you'd close your eyes, bow your heads with me. And we're going to turn our attention now to the Lord's Supper. And I want to read us a text out of the last few days of Jesus' ministry. And it's amazing to me that the last act that he does with his disciples is he has dinner. A meal of fellowship with them. And he says this, he says, "Now, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" What a bizarre statement. Like, think about what they must have thought when he did that. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." If the first wasn't bizarre, that certainly is bizarre. What is Jesus showing us? Love. That's what this table's about. Jesus is saying, like, listen, I have given you the example of what love is. It's gentle, it's meek, it's kind, it's patient, not quick to anger, and it'll go to the cross for you. It'll pay for your sins and my sins. Praise God for his love, amen? And so we come to this table this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, my prayer is that you would abide in that love, a blood-purchasing kind of love. My prayer that if you don't know Christ, that even if you've come to church, this is your first time at Central, and you're like, whoa, this is not at all what I expected, that most, if you get nothing out of it this week or this weekend, see what it is, what the church is, not what you've seen, not what you've heard about, but what the Word of God calls it to be. We fail at this so often. But this is what he's calling us into, is a people to love, to belong to care for, to live life with, to support in our hard moments, to celebrate with in our good moments. And he has purchased it for you with his blood. And I would ask you to consider. And then finally, I would ask you to simply consider this. What do you want from church? What do you want from the people of God around you? Is it love? What does that look like? Are you in a place where you're able to experience it? Have you been walking in it? Have you been walking contrary to it? Maybe instead of being gentle, you've been harsh. Maybe instead of being kind, you've been mean. Maybe instead of being meek, you've been domineering. Whatever it is, like if that's where you are, this is a call for us to all repent of those things and to lead into love, and to lean into love. Father, we thank you for your ministry of grace, your love that has been granted to us as your people, a love that is astounding, a love that was willing to be poured out through blood, that our sins might be forgiven. I want to pray that you would help us to just rest in that, that you would help us to example that. So pray, Father, that you would help us to commune with you in this moment. Father, I pray for this opportunity that we also have to joyfully give, that we might participate in ministries like Franz and Rhodes and the work there in Haiti and all the work that they are doing. But Father, that we also might see this church continue to move forward. So we pray, Father, that you would bless those tithes and offerings as well. We pray these things in your name, amen. Before you come to the tables, I want to go ahead and invite our prayer counselors and elders. If you would just come to the front and be prepared to receive people. If you want prayer for anything, maybe you want to pray for the church. Maybe you want prayer because you're struggling to love. Maybe you want prayer because you want to pray for some other situation, anything. Maybe you want to celebrate something. We want to be available to receive you, to talk with you, to love you well. But as you feel ready, as you feel it's time, would you just make your way to one of the tables around the room and partake in the Lord's Supper?
Sing beautiful.
And beautiful are the words spoken to me. And beautiful is the one who is speaking. Yes, beautiful. To me, yes. And beautiful is the one who is. seek. Yes, Lord. Come in close. Come closer to me. Yeah. Lord, we treasure your word.
And beautiful are the words spoken to me. Let them fall on my ears and break my stony heart. The power of your words are filled with grace and mercy. Let them fall on my ears and break my stony heart. Oh, come in close. God, come in close and speak. God, come in close, come closer to me. Yeah, yeah, come in close. God, come in close and speak. Yes, come in close, come closer to me.
This morning, I just want to say that if you want prayer after the service, our prayer counselors, pastors, elders, they're going to remain up here. If you have some questions, you want to talk, our elders are also available for that. I want to also just say this, is that if you're in this body and you're not connected to a people, you come in and you sit alone, or you come in and you are quiet and you don't connect, like, we have ways to connect you, but you have to let us know. We've got our classes that meet every Sunday morning from 9:45 to 10:45. So whether you're a young married, a young adult, or married with children, or an empty nester, like, we have places to help plug you in, to meet people, to be able to find that community that we all need. And I want to encourage you to take that step to let us help you get plugged into that. If this is your first time here at the church, maybe you're not even a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not sorry you came on this day. Because you know what? The church is broken and messy and we're not perfect. And if all you got to see today was some of our, maybe, I don't know, dirty laundry or whatever it is, but you got to see the love of Christ, that's what the church really is. And I hope that's what you saw. And I pray that if it is your first time, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet with you. I'll be outside of these main doors at our Info Central booth right after the service. And so you can come talk with me. I'd love to get to know you, get you plugged in, help you get connected and into some of those places. As we dismiss, I just want to read this over us. It's just the thing that continues to weigh on my heart. It's just the Lord's command. It's a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It doesn't say that you love one another the way the movies show it. It doesn't say that you love one another the way TV does it. It doesn't say that you love one another the way it appears on Facebook. It says you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Church, let's go out and be the people of God. Let's love one another well, and let's pray that the Lord would draw many to himself as a result of that, that they would see that we are his disciples, and that they would want to experience that love because they've seen it in his people. Amen? So let's go out with that in our hearts. Let's go out with that with our actions, and may we be the people of God. God bless. We hope to see you next week.